So now we move to part three, which is the second reading. The second reading is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 to chapter 2, verse 2. And so we're going to look at that now. Brothers and sisters. Now that's the liturgical introduction. It's not in the Bible that way because you have to say it every line. We always pray for you, that our God make you worthy of his calling and powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, in accord with the grace of our God and Jesus Christ. Now there's more we're going to be looking at, but just can you enter, the old saying, I think it's Jerome, used to say, Cor Pauli, Cor Christi. The heart of Paul is the heart of Christ. You see, look at what he's praying for. You see, he loves these people. And so he's praying for them. And so, brothers and sisters, now the text, they put that in, that's liturgical, but that's fine. We always pray for you, you see. We pray, panto de perihimon, that God may make you worthy of his calling and powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith. How does he make us worthy of his calling? How can he do that? We're never worthy of his calling, right? But he can get us ready for his calling, make us apt, might be a better word. Worthy is correct. Why? But it's his worthiness. When he crowns our merits, he's only crowning his gifts, as Augustine says. And so, make you worthy. Look at all the trouble God goes through to make us worthy. He doesn't have to do that. He's infinitely happy. But he lacks us. He wants us. And so he makes us worthy, you see, of his calling, and powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith. Whatever you're doing to serve the Lord, to bring up your family, to help your neighbor, to tell people about me, whatever you're doing, you see, Paul is saying, I want the Lord to bring all that to fulfillment, every good purpose and every effort of faith. Whatever you're doing, you see, you're trying. And of course, Paul, a consummate politician in a way, he's hoping we'll hear that and say, oh boy. Well, if God wants to make us worthy of his calling and powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and effort of faith, then I better have some good purposes and efforts of faith. I gotta show God I'm serious. And he loves that. And he doesn't need us. But he loves that. His unfathomable mercy. It's like, when a little tiny baby picks up a toy and brings it over to you. Oh, thank you. Well, like that. He doesn't need us. So, bring all this to fulfillment, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. And you in him. In accord with the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, do we make sense to other people? We want the world to know about Jesus. So how do we do it? You have to pray. One person this way, one person that way, And especially if there's something about you, you wear a cross or whatever you do. People know you're a Christian. Now, everybody knows you're working for the boss. So now, you have to act like it. Forgive, be kind, give directions, help, and have a little bit of money in your pockets, dime, a quarter, that you can give to people who need money. People are poor. And we're not that poor. Here I am sitting here in front of a $200 camera. I don't know how much it is. In a nice environment, and down the street or down in Washington, there are people who don't have enough to eat tonight. And that bothers Jesus. That bothers him. And we can do something about that, you see. So Paul goes on. We ask you, brothers and sisters, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling with him, not to be shaken out of your minds, this translation, which is very good. Don't go nuts. Of course he's coming back. Tomorrow, this afternoon, nobody knows. He's coming back to you every time you turn to him. And so, you see, so don't be alarmed either by a spirit, that is, or an oral statement, or a letter allegedly coming from us to the effect that the day of the Lord is at hand. I've never said that. Then everybody gets all, oh, Jesus is coming, Jesus is, yes, he is. When? I don't know. The point is that if we're living aware of his imminent presence, actually, his actual presence, he's present now. No, not to end the world and take us all up in a cloud, but he's here. The Lord always knows what we're doing. And there's no way we can hide that. So, the memory of God, which I was talking about before, the memory of God helps us to respond to the Lord, to ask Jesus what we should be doing. And when we know we're doing something wrong, stop it and ask pardon and start again. He knows we're stupid. He knows we're sinners. But if we ask forgiveness and we love him, you see, he can change us. He can change us. So somebody said, oh, you're a saint. You say, oh, that's baloney. I know I'm not a saint. But whatever is in me, that's Jesus. I can't do that. He's forgiven me. You see? So I don't want you all shaken up. The Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. He is coming back. But it might be like, when it's 4,015, or it might be when it's 20,012 or 13 or wherever we are now. We don't know. I can tell you this for certain, though. He's coming into your heart and to your life now. So be ready for him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now! If anybody opens to me, I come in and I sup with him and he with me. Now! Are we alert to those? And tiny examples, you know. What shall I do this afternoon? You know, maybe I'll just lie down and get a nice rest. What about reading the Bible for a while? Saying, Lord, I want to get to know you better. You know? And act like you know he's coming right back. Because he is coming right back. And you know that. Now, right back, nobody can. But for each person, we're going to die. You know? And now, he wants to be part of our life. He wants to talk to us and guide us. Bring us along a path so that when we die, you see, God the Father, this is what Therese said, God the Father will get off his throne, give us a big hug and say, now it's my turn. Wouldn't you love to hear that? Well, then we got to fight for it. You know, there's that lovely song about running the race. My eyes fixed on Jesus, whatever the rest of it is. But, such a beautiful song. Well done, my good and faithful servant. It's a song about heaven. You know, that's what Therese, what kept her going. When she was young, she read this book by Armin Jean. I have it in English, I forgot the title. But it's all about heaven. Why don't you find it? Armin Jean. You can get it on Amazon and read about heaven and start to thirst for where we're really going. It would be so wonderful, wouldn't it? So that's what he's saying here, you see. We always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith. Whatever you're trying to do, powerfully bring it to fulfillment that God will do. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in you and you in him in accordance with the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. What a prayer. Beautiful. That means the Lord wants to work in us. Therefore, we have to be alert. We can't be living at our fingertips, you know, or glued to the TV set, or fascinated by the radio, or wonder what's the latest going on with all the wars and rumors of wars and all the rest. We have to be aware of those things. But when we're fixated by them, we've taken our eyes from off the prize. Huh? As the old saying goes, keep your eyes on the prize. The prize is Jesus Christ. And that's what I mean when I say this idea of the memory of God. Aware of Him. Aware of His plans. Aware of His future for us. Aware of it. In the back of your mind, you don't have to be, you can be thinking about anything else, you know. If you're trying to pass an exam, you better be. But in the back of your mind, the memory of God and what He wants to do for us. It's so precious, you see. So after saying that, then he says, now, about the coming of our Lord, relax. Don't be shaken out of your minds or be alarmed, either by a spirit, I got a word from the Lord, or by an oral statement, or by a letter allegedly from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is at hand. I never wrote such a thing. I've never said such a thing. I don't know. I can tell you some ideas. He's going to come down on a cloud, and He's going to take us up. We're going to go with Him and be with Him forever. That I know, because that's all in the apocalyptic writings. But I don't know when that is, and nor do you. He'll come for us one day soon, but end the world, we don't know. Right now, I pray, Lord, don't end it yet. It's such a mess. How many people will lose their whole eternity if you come now? Give us a chance to preach more, to talk more, to try to change people's lives. They're stuck in this stuff, and they never look up. They try to think that this is all there is, and then they get sick, and they're scared to death to die. I think we'll all be a little scared. But get so fixated on this world that you never look up. Like a guy digging a ditch and never looks up to see where it's going. Well, he doesn't know whether he's on the right track or not. This is what Paul is saying here, you see. And it fits in well with what the gospel is going to tell us in just a few moments. This beautiful story about Zacchaeus the tax collector. So we'll move on to that now.